Welcome to episode 22 of the Hypocrite Podcast. My name is Niz. With me this evening is Peter Hayward.
Hello, everybody.
And Emperor, is it Emperor?
Or Supreme Emperor.
Supreme Emperor Leader, Hot Sauce.
Hello.
How's it, Shannon? Are you well? Anyway,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, good.
James is not here because apparently he has a life. That's what he said. I don't know how true that is because he's a student. So
that basically means he's drinking.
Yeah, he's probably drinking somewhere. Or drunk in a ditch or some shit. Anyway, so we haven't released the podcast in a while because nothing exciting's happened after Wave 11 except for the complaining. And the X-Wing world has been full of podcasts talking about the complaining and things need to be changed and playtesting and FAQ reveals and shit. We're not going to be talking about that mostly. Since we're very far removed from it and it doesn't fucking matter. So what we're going to be talking about mostly on today's cast is two things. One is just currently, like, how is Wave 11 taken off locally? Because, I mean, I just observe people playing it. And you guys have been playing games, I think, in between, once and on and off. And then just that build up to Nationals. Because, I mean, Nationals is in, what's it, 2 weeks now?
2 weeks,
Oh, shit, less than 2 weeks. Shit.
Yeah, not this weekend coming, the weekend after.
So 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh my God, it's 12, 13 more days. Fuck. Okay, cool. Okay.
So that actually means the FAQ, alleged FAQ, wasn't dropped today. So if it's not dropped by Wednesday, it won't matter even if it's dropped.
Why?
Because there's always a like 11-day thing on there.
No, that's on releases. That's not on the FAQs.
I'm pretty sure it's on the FAQs as well. At least on Netrunner, it's definitely where they say...
No, they give you a date.
Like, you know. Yeah. So there's like a whole bunch of days. It's not like it's relevant tomorrow. It's always like some time.
So yeah, I just wanted to say the latest news on FFG's website is the release of Sid Meier's Civilization: A New Dawn. That's new. It's a board game. Yay. Nothing X-Wing is on the front page for now. Legend of Five Rings is coming out, so that's also a cool game.
There's also Twilight Imperium 4th edition. Yay.
Oh, okay, yeah. So if you didn't get the first three editions, you can get the 4th edition, just in case. So just in, like, you know, mentioning this, Alpha R is launching at Gen Con, which is in 2 days' time. Apparently, Guns for Hire is going to be there as well.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll be getting it then in a little bit. Yeah. However, there was that one release, I can't remember which one it was, but there was one where they released the Gen Con, and then, like, it took quite a... I think it might have been Wave... What was the Jump Master? Wave 9? Yeah.
Oh,
I think it...
No. Continue.
There was one where, like, it was at Gen Con, and then, like, it took quite a while for it to get anywhere else. Like, I mean, I'm not even just, like, here. I mean, America, everywhere, you know. It was quite a while. And then people were, super upset about it.
No, that was the early release, I think. So what FFG did was they pushed the release forward just to get the product out there and build hype. But the official release was still... later in the year. People weren't happy about that. It was just like, get hyped,
We'll see.
You had to do a Gen Con to get the stuff, so otherwise, like, you're just fucking not the
to
get it.
Let's spend like 30 grand just to go get our ships earlier.
There are people who have that kind of money, and that is crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. If you have that kind of money, and you blow it on something like that, you're not going to have that kind of money for much longer.
Unless you have so much of that money that it literally doesn't matter.
True.
Yeah. Then again, if you have that kind of money, then it doesn't matter really. You like go to every game show ever, like every like fucking expo.
Speaking about money and paying to win.
Oh,
what
geez.
About Wave 11?
Yes, paying to win. Wonderful. Great segue there. I like it. So, paying to win, essentially. It's called Wave Pay to Win. I think that's what we can call it now. So, the reason why it's Wave Pay to Win is because of two ships?
Two ships, two.
two ships. Yeah,
the other one is okay. It's winning some stuff, but I mean, it's literally the fucking, what's this thing called? The Skurge H6 and the Aussie
and
truck.
The Azutuk. Or Jeez. Ass truck is the real name for it.
You sure? I'm pretty sure it's not spelled like
that. No, it's Ass truck. Just look it up.
Shannon, sorry, your faction has been left in the.
No, that's fine. We'll slip under the radar and surprise everybody.
Of course, because Wave 12 has Kylo Ren's fucking interceptor in it, and it's going to murder everyone.
Yep.
A large base ship with boost battle roll natively.
It's not going to be in large base ships, a starfighter.
So?
Starfighter?
Space magic.
Okay, that is true. That's true. Anyway, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue that.
Wave pay to win, right? So you can't find a fucking Skurg or a Grisser in Cape Town for love of money or drugs or anything. You can find...
Which is quite strange because I really don't understand why people went so all out on the Grissers. I mean, I bought two pre-order, right, from you, which was... before everything was revealed on it in the first place. And my reasoning was purely, well, two TLTs is a thing in Rebels and Scum. It's not like a very dominating thing. But it has been a thing. So having two that can pair with something that's 50 points in Empire that may come at some point, not a bad thing to have. So that was my reasoning. But I don't understand why everybody like just bought them so quickly. You said they were like sold out the first day or something.
So I'll explain what happened. Stock arrived, pre-orders were put aside, the store opened, and at 6:15 I had no stock.
That's fun.
Yeah, that was great. I still have Aussie trucks though. I think I'm like 4 left of the 20. The thing is, right, the Grisser, and I think Shannon can back me up here, the TLT, yeah, amazing. Lightweight frame, fucking amazing. And then intensity.
Sure. Yeah, like, I mean, I think this might be like an upgrade expansion, like the poor old Star Viper.
Well, till Guns for Hire comes out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Shannon, what do you think of intensity? Like, have you seen it being played? Have you tried it in like shit lately?
I haven't really put much stock into building it myself because I can't find anything theoretically that'll work with Imperials. But I have seen it played on Poe in the list of what's so-called plot armor with Dash and Poe. And it's rather effective because, I mean, you basically have a evade token in the beginning and then you keep it with Com Relay and then you just focus every turn, use Poe's ability, spend the focus at the end, flip it back over and rinse repeat for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I would call that a bit more than effective.
Wow,
it's very hardcore. I think actually you should like Poe like that bold. By the way, if people don't know what we're talking about, let me just quickly so the other name for it is Dashing Dameron. I don't know why. That's apparently the other name for the archetype, which is a bit silly, I think. Plot armor is what. So Ryan Farmer from the Minox Squadron podcast, that most of us probably should know, he won a store championship with this list. This list is, I think, pretty much built in one way and one way only. I might be wrong about that, so don't quote me on that. The Poe is effectively the pilot skill 9 Poe with black 1, comm relay, auto thrusters, intensity, and R2-D2. So, I see there's some people that put pattern analyzer on there as well.
Yeah.
Depending on how you build your dash. And if you want to get some points for initiative, because some people pay 2 points for initiative. So yeah, but the idea there is basically, like Shandon said, you take an evade for comms relays. You've got an extra shield effectively. You barrel roll, and then when you do your barrel roll, you get like a focus, and you just do this over and over and over again. And RTDT gives you shields back. Oh, it's rough.
Yay, Rebo Regen, yay. But I mean, that's one archetype that, to be honest, I'm looking through List Juggler right now. Like, it gets to the top four, top two maybe, and it's not winning as much as, well, just
yes. Weird. So, but, yeah. So if we go to, no, you're right there. If we go to MetaWing, which is the, oh, wow, now my browser first decided to go away.
Yeah,
if you go to MetaWing, which is was added by the List Juggler guys a while back, which is a really cool resource. Just make sure you can read it correctly. There, you're completely right. If you look at the dashing, oh, wait, no, hang on. That's Dashing Miranda. Dashing Miranda actually does better. So Dashing Dameron was seen in 30 lists were seen in all the information on List Juggler. That's 24 tournaments. By the way, 24 tournaments is 14.28% of the tournaments in the last month that was registered. And then the average percentile is only 37.69. So what that basically means is, like, the it's not as effective. Like, more people lost with it than won with it. So the more people that will win or come very high, that will push the average percentile up towards 100. So this is quite low with 37. To give you a comparison, the number one squad, which is Biggs Lowrisky, which is Fairship Rebel, right? That sits at the average percentile of 50.58. So that's pretty even. Lots of people do well with it. Lots of people do bad with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're right. That actually sort of supports the fact that you're saying you don't really see people winning with it that much.
That's the thing, man, because I'm looking at this one List Juggler thing. The final was, I'm going to call it Plot Armor, versus a guy playing some form of Whisper list, because it just has Whisper in there in a 68-point bid. But I mean, I don't think... I don't think Whisper soloed that list, but I have a very strong suspicion it's Whisper Rack, because yeah, that list does obscenely well against Plot Armor.
Yes, right? Because you can... A blinded pilot dash and kill him before he actually starts dealing proper damage, which is amazing.
Also, I'm just looking at the top. The top four was Plot Armor, the Fairship Rebel version 2, this guy playing an Imperial list, and there was another list, I'm not sure. So the Plot Armor played against the Fairship Rebel list, and the Plot Armor guy won 29 points to 28.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the fuck did he kill. He killed Lorik, probably. Lorik had Draw the Fire and Ray on it.
No, that's too expensive. Lorik is 28, just standard, isn't it?
I don't know. Then it's Jess, maybe. Or Biggs is 26 points. Rex is 14. I have no idea what he killed then. I'm not going to work it out.
Probably Jess. But, interesting. So, that list... from MetaWing, which is a summary of all the lists that it sees in that archetype, 8 of the lists got somewhere in a cut, whereas the rest were all like non-cuts, and you know, everything from just below cut till, you know, pretty much nowhere.
Yeah.
So it seems that, like, that list is having a hard time. Or maybe people don't know really how to play it very well. Very difficult to say.
Do you want to guys go into the store champs that just happened, like, last weekend? I think we can go into it.
Yeah, sure. I've got the stats here.
I've got it up as well. I'll just congratulate the winner first. It's Kevin Pedersen. EDE.
Wow.
Peterson. Yeah. It's spelled like that. I mean, yeah, I'm sure. I guess that's how you say it. No. He won playing the most cancerous of lists. Triple K Wing, Bombers, Extermination, Advanced Slam, Side Six Clusters, Proximity, Sabine Wren, and two intelligence agents. Yay! He ended the game first with the tournament first with an AOV of 700.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
Just to give you a perspective here, Graham, congrats to him. He came second. He was 3-1. His MOV was 549. Karantri was playing Herigator. It's not Herigator. It's Herigator. Yes, it's Herigator.
Yeah, it's a little derivative, but it's pretty much Herigator, yes. So that's a hero with C-3PO and engine upgrade, and then Ahsoka like lets you boost, and you go into range. Range 3, and for listeners that don't know, that list can be obnoxious.
It is obnoxious, yeah. But if you kill the ghost, then you win.
Pretty much, yeah. The thing is, if you can catch it, if you can lay a trap, you can do some serious work against Hera.
So I'm just gonna point out something now, right? And I'm not gonna be a dick, right? Because people have been complaining about Nim and Azutak. The top three at this store champs is Triple K Wings, Herigator, Plot Armor.
Okay, I agree with you. And so,
you can't disagree. It's written on the screen. I mean, it's fucking written right there.
No. But this is one tournament.
No, I'm aware of that.
Yeah. There were two people that played Nim. Both played Dengar Nim. Rather different variants. And just a shout out to them. That's Francois Ackermann that came sixth. I think that's the highest. Francis. Yes, sure. Let's go with that. I think that's his highest showing to date, so congrats to him. Hope to see him do even better than that. And then Daniel Watson, one of our squad mates, and he came seventh. I'm not going to go into the lists here because there's very much difference between us, but it's basically Captain Nim and Dengar, which is a very, very popular list if you go and have a look on MetaWing. But like I told Shannon before we started recording, if you actually go look at Dengar Nim, the average percentile there is actually quite low for a list that is supposedly so scary. So there's a lot of people that are playing it. It's been seen in 37.3% of all Twitterbans in the last month. That's on the juggler.
That's on like, the juggler.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, that's a little bit more than a third, right? And so it was seen 100 times, and the average percentile, like I said, is 41.66, which is quite a bit lower than, let's say, Fairship Rebel, for example.
Yeah.
So definitely it can do really well because it's one of quite a few store champs, but people do also pretty poorly with it. You know, all guys get like into the mid of the pack.
It's not top, it's not bottom, it's okay. And I mean, if you look at this juggler and MetaWing, and it tells exactly the same story. So, I mean, even though we look at one tournament, and I know, you know, that's like, oh, your sample size is one, yay, you've got great research. No, I mean, it bears out with MetaWing because even though, I mean, just so the listeners know, I mean, List Juggler catalogs some of the events that's happened. Some places, a lot of places don't put their events up on List Juggler.
Which they should.
Because it contributes data. But like you were saying in the chat earlier, in the X-Wing chat, is that it's the best we have to make a inference or to like base our actual like...
I mean, there's like it's at least recording of hundreds of games where if you didn't have it, you know, you would literally be going, oh, I'm theory winging my brain, or I quit my job and divorced my wife or husband and I'm going to just play X-Wing day in and day out. Like, you know, there's no other way of like, you know, trying to get this data. So it's a super valuable resource, which I'm very grateful for.
That is true. But Brandon, I just want to run this list by you. This is the guy who plays fourth, which is John. He's been playing this list for a while. And I'm not sure this is Shandon's style.
It involves a shuttle, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Is it not your style?
No.
Imagine one sentence system officer Hux, pure subak VI, title, and lightweight frame. Quick draw, title, adaptability, FCS, and lightweight frame. He came in fourth. I mean, he's a 3-1. Jeez. I mean, I've seen this trick with Hux and advanced changes. It is pure bullshit. Let's just be clear.
Yeah, it's very nice.
You can't block him. I mean, you can't. He'll advanced changes. Hux will give everyone a fucking focus. And then quick draw can reposition, Sabak can reposition, or just go like balls to the wall and take another focus or some shit.
Yeah. A good thing with him would be to take an evade. So that you have a little bit of defense. I think it's a nice list. The problem with the list is there's a lot of variance in it. The shuttle itself is very high on variance, just because it's a lot of points. It's a four dice attack where you will only get a focus. Very rarely you can't get a target lock as well because you're axing in the first place. So
yeah. Well, if you put targeting synchronizer, then yes.
Fire control system.
This means targeting synchronizer on quick draw. Yes, he does not have a space for that, unfortunately.
He doesn't have points here, unfortunately.
But that is not a bad. But to be honest, that's not a bad idea. But then you'll have to drop Piercer Buck to something cheaper, which I don't think Imperials at the moment have like a 23 point guy that's any good really. 26. 26.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, like in this loadout is 26, I believe. And Piercer Buck is also very heavy on variance. But quick draw here is nice because quick draw actually is not. Quick draw is quite steady, on the variance that you get on your rolls and everything, because you get fire control system and you get more attacks as they shoot your shields off and so on. So it can do quite a lot of work, which is very nice.
Yeah. So just going back to Shannon, I know this is not your style, but I mean, Shannon, what do you think is going to be played like now? Like for Imperial, that's not based off a shuttle. You playing with some stupid shit, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, my grand total of experience with Wave 11 is currently one game against Plot Armor, and that game included me playing an aggressor. It was the second time I've ever flown a turreted ship with Lone Wolf, and I procced it all of zero times in that game because the aggressor was either too close or he was dead. But that was only after killing Poe, so that was quite good. I think Imperials are very flexible at the moment. You can basically throw anything together, and you have to actually try and make it work because there's no... we haven't seen much X7 lately except for Sean and the previous store champs who came second, I believe. And then, I haven't seen other Imperial aces other than myself because I'm still crazy like that. And...
Please, at this store champs, there's... Nick was flying essentially, what is this? Pulp Defenders?
It's Pulp Defenders, yeah.
Pulp Defenders, yeah. And then...
played it as well. And he,
Seven as well.
Brought up the rear there.
And Redline.
There was only... Okay, so this was a small tournament. Average in
Cape Town. Yeah, it's average.
To be honest, these days that's like actually in the lower scale, to be honest. But it was 13, so whatever, it was 13 people and three Imperials, and two of them came like in the bottom part of the brackets, 9 and 12. So the 13th person dropped because he was actually also the TO. So it was a mismatch with timings or something, people coming late or something like that. However, like there was one Imperial in at fourth, so no, that's not bad. But yet again, you see this exact trend on Metawing. Like in their positions of list archetypes, if I've got the latest version now here, the first Imperial list is only 12th, which is S, TIE SF, TIE Defender, and TIE FO. And then the next one, you only see, okay, now you see it as 15. And so, yeah, like, I mean, it's almost all just Rebel and sprinkled with a few scum in between in the top lists, which are the most popular ones at the moment. So it should basically say people don't really want to play it. And you're seeing, at least in this one case in Cape Town, the same. Yeah. However, to give Imperials a little bit of a boost, I've seen there's been a few people that have been playing like newer versions of. There's two things really. The one is we're talking about Wave 11, right? Is the whole Tom Cruise Aces. That's my name, by the way, that I came up with because of the cruise missile thing is firing Tom Cruise missiles. Anyhow, there's a lot of variants that you can build with this. Usually, what happens is you build Darth Vader and a quick draw with some other pocket ace, and some people go and say, okay, cool, we're gonna go full on Alpha Strike and we're gonna put three aces with cruise missiles on there with what's the thing called, guidance chips, right? And then they basically just try and corral people and then shoot all three missiles at once. However, if you go and look at how people like that performed, tend to perform pretty poorly, because I've only seen one game played that way, and I only assume it's because it's like sort of a one-trick pony. Because let's say, for example, you do get your missiles off in the game, but your rolls are still pretty average, or their rolls, defense rolls, are really good, then you're sitting with, they don't have extra munitions, right? So then you're sitting with three aces that are severely gimped because you had to take off some of the other good upgrades.
Okay.
So, so that's not so great. So there's an alternative which you can say, like, okay, I'm not going to go all in on missiles. I'm going to put the missiles there as a threat. Because if you think about it, we've talked about this earlier and many podcasts have, that it's relatively easy to predict when somebody can pull off one of these missiles, because you typically want to maximize the amount of dice that you get. So you want to do at least a 3-speed maneuver, probably a 4-speed maneuver. Yeah. And clearly you can read the board state and say, oh, cool, now this person can do that. Now,
but what if I can't read the board state, Peter?
Excuse me?
Well, what if I can't read the board state? What if I have no idea that my opponent's going to do this? Then it's probably going to fucking work.
Then it's probably going to work. Yes, absolutely. No, no, that's true. But then you should get good. But you will probably
just assume get his board state literacy.
Wow! Yes, wow! Don't start that. Don't start that shit. We had like 2 weeks of this shit already. You need to stop that shit.
The thing is, the fact that your opponent can read the board state is something that you can use against them. You see, it's exactly like how you play. However, I don't think it's nearly as powerful, but it's exactly how you play advanced slam bombs. It's like your opponent, once they know what that can do, can see like, oh shit, you know, like if I go anywhere around here, they're going to bomb me. And because they know that, then they tend to not go there. And then you can exploit them not doing that. So now you've got three aces, right? So I played four games with this, and then I played three games. and then two games with against Lyon, and he played a very, very similar list. So just to give you an idea, it was Darth Vader with engine upgrade. I think VI cruise missiles, and obviously the title and advanced targeting computer. And then quick draw. My version had, I changed it up a bit, but eventually it had adaptability, the cruise missile, a lightweight frame, and sensor cluster to try and make it very tanky. And lockdown or a mega leader, right? Uh-huh. And this actually worked out really well. Like, I won all the games I played with it. I lost one against James the first time I played it. I don't think it was an optimal build. I didn't have lightweight frame on quick draw, and I think that's a mistake. And it worked really nicely because you could control where people wanted to go. You could really see them going, oh shit, there's a cruise missile coming if I go there. And then you can give your other guys, because they're nice and maneuverable, chances to get around your opponent. And so when Leon and I played, he played something extremely similar, same three pilots, just different loadouts. He did the same to me. So I won one game and he won the other game that we played. So I think there is definitely something there. But in the international meta, you definitely don't see any of that. I can't see it anywhere here of note, to be honest. So Shannon, I don't know what you think about that.
Having played with TIE SFs with guidance ships and missiles, granted it was the concussion missiles, was before cruise missiles were out properly. Once you've got those missiles off, like what you're saying about them, then just sitting there and not really being kitted out properly, because once you've used the missile, the guidance ship is basically useless and you could have had something else in that slot. They are actually quite soft and they tend to die pretty easily. So I prefer your way of going, where you put the missiles on more as a threat and a nice to have when you get to use it, rather than like putting it in as the full brunt behind what your list is going for.
Oh, well, I mean,
yeah,
it's a playstyle thing.
Yeah.
You need to alternate the win condition, I think. I don't think you could put all your like eggs in one basket, essentially, where you literally like said, fuck, that's all I'm doing. We're doing this shit.
Well, if you do and it works very well. But when it doesn't work, then you sort of have to fight an uphill battle.
That doesn't sound great, eh?
Nah. Not for consistency.
That shit does sound great. But that's the new hotness in Imperials. Pretty much out of that.
Yeah, I see there's a bunch of people. There's a list archetype that's not named on MetaWing, which is a TIE SF, a TIE Advanced prototype, which is the Inquisitor, and then Darth Vader, the TIE Advanced. And like, if you read through these builds, there's like a whole different, whole bunch of different versions of how some people put engine upgrades on, some people go. So basically, they alternate between the two things that we already discussed now. And the average percentile is not great at all, really, for if you want to go competitive. It's 39.44, but I mean, it does seem that people are at least trying to play it. So who knows? I think if you play well with it, you might be actually be able to do something.
Look, that's the archetype that's emerging, but it's not the, I don't think it's the de facto one at the moment. What I want to move on to actually is, if you guys are done with that, you saw in the chat about Imperials or?
Not really. In our meta, generally, like people are like usually with Imperials in the last few months have tried all kinds of things, and it worked to varying degrees. The one thing that you constantly see doing well is still trip defenders. And usually this is old man Sean that just comes with them and just wreck people. And now he's been playing it for a very long time. But I have a strong suspicion that it is still really a very, very good list. And people just don't give it much credit.
Well, I don't know. You're going to have to ask Shandon. He knows this better than I do. But I mean, I looked at the list with Soul Champs. It's solid. He made it to the top table.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at the Meta Wing yet again. Sorry that I keep on harping on this, but I'm quite obsessed with this, all these stats.
I didn't notice.
If you look here, like pretty much all the top imperialists, even though they're not in the top 10, most of them's got like a defender in them, and some of them too. Like, I mean, the list that stops, or the archetype that stops 16 is a tie SF and two defenders. And I mean, if you think about it, that's a lot of stuff that you have to shoot through.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's difficult to, like, kill eventually. That's the big problem. It's like, to get there and murder is the big problem.
Yeah. And if you look at the pilots that they play Riot and Vessery with their typical loadouts. Actually, no, not typical loadouts, but whatever. Riot and Vessery and then backdraft and quick draw, you know, which are really, really solid.
Yeah. So, Shannon, do you want to say anything about Imperial archetypes at the moment before we move on?
No, I think the Defender is still good because the main reason that I think it fell off a bit here after the so-called X7 nerf was that people here still played quite a bit of Stress Hog, but that's disappeared quite a bit now with Fairship Rebels and all that stuff that's coming out. And now basically Defenders, the only time they lose the evade is if they bump or go over a rock, and you don't do that normally, so they're basically as strong as they were before.
Yeah.
That is true. Okay, so the main reason for the podcast, which I'm trying to fucking get to, is Nationals is coming up, 13 days' time. There's no real meta in Cape Town at the moment, is there?
Not really.
I would say no. I would say people are really just trying things out. That's at least what it looks like. We haven't had that many tournaments. We had like the two store champs now, and we haven't had a league for a while. However, we are starting one again this week, so we'll definitely see what people are trying out there. But I believe people are going to try and, or at least some people, I would say like about a quarter of the people will play it safe and try and go for archetypes that they've seen do well elsewhere.
I don't think anybody's going to jump on the new wave bandwagon and everybody's just going to play new stuff. I think we're still going to see a lot of what was played before.
Yes, because people feel comfortable with it. So, but then there are players that like they do tend to play more meta-ish type things. And like you've seen James that already picked up Dash Poe or Plot Armor. And I mean, he likes both ships, so why wouldn't he play it, and he plays it super, super well, so
because he's familiar with Dash as well, it helps that he's not trying out a new ship and new build. He's playing a ship that he knows he does well with, and he gets comfortable with that quite quickly, and then that becomes his new list.
Absolutely. I'm very surprised, to be honest. Maybe not that surprised, but that Fairship Rebels have not picked up here, because there's a lot of people here that do like playing Rebels a lot. And this is like, this is as Rebel as it comes, like it's got bigs in it. It's like a whole bunch of nonsense. And there's four ships in there as well, like they're all Euros and whatnot. So I don't know why people aren't playing it, to be honest.
I like how you say bigs and nonsense. I mean, I really like that part about that. But I mean, just going into national season, what I've seen happen is obviously NIMS come out and everyone's embraced that or hated on it, I mean, in equal measures, versus the aggressor sprinkling of that. And then one or two Ozitrucks, and that's it. Like, it's not been a staple. It's not... I felt the way that... I blame the internet here. When I say internet, not just the forums, because there was a discussion about that, and I'll get into that later. But just the internet and everyone going like, oh, no, this is going to kill us. And then you don't see it. It's like this boogeyman that never existed in the first place. So I don't know if that's a downfall, unfortunately, of that.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, look, maybe, I mean, Nationals is 2 weeks away. Someone might do some crazy shit and then everyone rocks up the fucking Kurgs and aggressors and Ozitrucks and shit.
I think, like, locally, one of the reasons why we also have definitely not seen this so much is because, I've said before, you know, we only, in Cape Town, we only have 2 store championships. It's not like we're, you know, in a place where, you know, you can go to 10 or 20 or something ridiculous like that. So people want to do well, so they play with something that they know. And these ships only, like, landed, what, 2 weeks ago a year? And so if you took it, like the 2 guys that took NIM, you know, that's probably like some of the first games that they've played against, not against, with it, you know? So
they're competitively, you mean?
Yes. And so maybe they practiced, what, like maybe 10 games with it in those 2 weeks? Like, if that. So, yeah, I think that's got a lot to do with it as well. And that actually might go into Nationals too, where people just feel like, "Hell, I don't know these things well enough. So, you know, what if I take it and I just screw up?" So maybe I think we will see a continuation of like the old things.
It'll be interesting to see. So what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna ask you guys. Yeah, you can go through it and explain, but I'm gonna ask you for a prediction on Nationals. I know you both are playing. I'm not playing, so I can make the shittiest prediction, so that's fine. What do you want to start? Peter, do you want to start? What do you think is going to win? Straight up. What faction and what beard in the net faction? No pressure.
Yo, that's a really hard one.
So much pressure.
I think it will... I think it will probably be a Rebel List. That's my gut feeling. But yeah, I mean, we've got a bunch of people that play Rebels, as their main faction or as an off faction. There are really a lot of strong Rebel lists, very strong Rebel lists now. Some of our strongest players play them really, really well. I think Scum's got a chance. Here in Cape Town, people tend to play. There are very few people that play like really hardcore meta Scum. They usually tend to go like a bit off meta, or just like completely off the wall, which we've seen actually work really well. Like how Kevin O'Connell went top 4 at Quantum Gaming Store Championships with was Dengar Finn, right? Which you just don't see Dengar anywhere. Finn. Usually you see 3 ships, not 2, you know. So with basically the Scum version of Dash Bow, which is insane. I think they have definitely got a chance, but just because it's less popular year, I'm not so sure. And I think Imperials is probably the lowest. However, there are 1-2 outliers, you know, with lists. That if people bring it and they can do well with it, practice a bit, they can do really well.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think Rebels, to be honest. Archetype, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I would bet that there's going to be a Dash in it, and if there's not going to be a Dash in it, there's going to be a K-Wing in it. That's what I would say.
Wow. Okay. So it's a variant. A Rebel variant based around K-Wings or Dash?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Shandoom?
Well, it's fairly easy. I think I'm going to win.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know why?
All seriousness aside, probably Rebels. A decent showing from Scum, I think. But I think most people are either going to be trying out the new stuff in Scum and Rebels, and one of them is going to hit it off quite well and do well, or one of the well-known tried and tested lists is going to come through again. I have a feeling it might be a Dengar list, but I think people have seen and played enough against Dengar now, so maybe it'll move more to Rebels. Maybe a Fen, but yeah, I think I'm leaning more towards Rebels, but I'm kind of disconnected from X-Wing at the moment, so I'm actually not familiar with any of the current archetypes, so I can't really say what ships exactly.
Okay. So, I mean, that's your call, I assume.
Yeah.
That's what you feel. So you're going to win with Scum?
Yeah.
One.
Maybe Rebels. Possibly maybe both.
Oh, wow. At the same time. At the same time. Jeez. So James is not here, but I'm going to speak on his behalf. And James, I think, said Imperials are going to win. So James said it's an Imperial list of some sort, normally three aces or Palp aces or some variant of a shuttle and do things. I feel that would be the best choice for James because he can't speak for himself and I can say whatever the fuck I want, which is great. My own, I don't know, geez, from my side, Rebels are good, and it depends. And I was speaking today and I said it depends on this FAQ, right? If there's no FAQ, then Rebels are in a really good spot to wait to take it, just by sheer volume of people playing Rebels. But Imperials are also like up and coming because they've been nerfed to shit and back. So like, I feel they may actually have a really good chance of at least making top four. And when I explain Nationals later, and I'll tell you guys about it, there's a reward for an Imperial player in top four. So
don't make me play it. Please don't.
I'm not making you play shit.
I wanna actually get top eight so I can get like the black squadrons.
The top four reward isn't for what you're thinking of. That's just if you come in the top four with an Imperial list, you get this.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that if I play Imperial, I'm not gonna get like in the top eight to get my black squadrons.
To be honest, I'm sure Imperial would do a really good showing. I'd like to see Imperial win. But more than likely, I feel it's going to be a Rebel or Scum list. More likely Rebel than Scum. But I feel the top four. Yeah, more likely. No, but geez, we could be totally fucking wrong, which is messed up because someone comes out of whack with a crazy Imperial list and just like annihilates everyone.
That is true. That is true.
That's what I mean. I'd love to see. Like I said, we've done Precursor podcasts to the other store champions. I said I'd love to see Imperials win. It's unlikely, but I'd like to see them win.
Yeah, it would be a bit different for a time.
To do. Anyway.
Yeah.
What?
Which was the last one?
I think we did a prediction on store champs of the regional.
The last win for an Imperial list in South Africa was last year in Nationals, I believe.
Yeah, that was the last
one.
It was a regional. You won the regionals.
I won regional, you know.
With Imperial. Oh,
and Oni also won, actually. Oni
oh, Nelson, God.
The big Hangar Bay tournament that we had at on the SS Spium Corp. But the thing is, that was a Hangar Bay. That was not standard. So that is a little different. But still, I mean.
True. Yeah. No. I mean, he made it to the final and won. So,
yep.
It's going to be fun times at Nationals. And with that segue, guys, quickly I'm going to go through Nationals because I think a few things have changed. So at this point when we're speaking right now is the 14th of August and pre-registration is open. I've had quite a few pre-registrations. Most of them are from outside of Cape Town. Like very few people in Cape Town have actually pre-registered. And that's cool with me because, I mean, these guys are willing to come down from other parts of the country. I think got a few guys coming from, quite a few guys coming from Johannesburg. And there's a few guys coming from, I think there's one or two guys coming from Durban. I'm not 100% sure. But these guys are like amped to be here. Like they email me everything. Just quickly to go through the setup for the event. The pre-register is from today, the 14th, till the 18th of August only, which is Friday. If you're not pre-registered by then you unfortunately have to register on the day, which will be a pain for me. So please pre-register. All those details are on the site. And one thing a few people are leaving out is that when you send your proof of payment, just send your call sign, because we're going to use that on the day. So a call sign is whatever nickname you feel like using. Please don't use anything like racist or like any profanity. We're not putting that on there. So just please, like, be normal fucking human beings. And then...
Profane as the podcast might get at some point, this is going to be a public event in the public spot. So,
We must be normal. I must be quite a bit. But yeah, we're going to be in the public eye. So I'd ask people to, you know, at least conduct yourself reasonably like you're like civilized animals and not just uncivilized. So,
but we are uncivilized.
Oh, God.
Just we've got lions in the streets and everything.
No,
we are. I rode my elephant to work this morning.
Wow, that I'm not even gonna fucking argue with you idiots right now.
The crazy thing is, there are some people overseas that believe that we live in clay huts and they wear animal skins and hunt with spears and like have lions as pets.
But we also have the internet.
Yeah,
we also have enough technology to do a podcast.
Another weird thing was I was in another country and they were like, oh, how do you guys live? And some of the other guys, the exchange students I was with, were talking about this stuff. And I'm like, these guys are lapping this up and I can't believe it. Like, how the hell did we get here? Did we swim?
That is amazing. Oh, no, yeah, you all swim together. Just the guy in front pulls you forward and he gets tired. He shifts to the back of the next.
I was like in like an Asian country, and the one guy didn't believe me that I came from South Africa because, yeah, I'm a white guy.
I wouldn't believe you either.
And then he was like, no, it's important. Like, I showed him my passport. He's like, no, it's like, well, what? I'm gonna carry around a fake passport
from South Africa.
God,
that's hilarious.
I actually think you can get arrested like for having fake like documentation on you and shit. So
yes, you can. Yeah.
Doing that in a foreign country is probably like not advised. Please, listeners, don't do something like that.
Yeah, I don't know how we got to this. I'm just bringing this back to the fucking topic, which is nationals, right? So I got great news today. With regards to prizes. Ooh, everyone loves prizes. So everyone that pre-registered or pre-registers by Friday, all of you will be entered into a draw for... Yes.
All that?
A free toilet seat. No. Those who are pre-registered are into a random draw to win a Sea Rock.
Ooh. What? That is amazing.
So that's been sponsored by Solarpop, our local distributor. They sponsored the prize for that. So
that
everyone
is amazing.
You will be entered into a draw for a C-Rock. No, you will not get a fucking C-Rock. You will be in a draw.
Can't you like only release this episode after the 18th?
That defeat? No, you fuckers, no. Don't fucking do like that.
I already pre-registered, so that will be perfect for me.
You know that you were the first person and you always send it to the wrong email address without fucking fail, right? You know that. Like, without fail, you do stuff and it's in the wrong address.
I'm pretty sure, okay, I'm going to check this. I think you're like, taking the piss at me now.
I'm not. You fucking sent it to the wrong email address. I swear. Anyway, while he's gone. So that's the pre-reg prize. And then, it's at the Waterfront Workshop 17, usual stuff. And then there's a wooden spoon prize, which I have yet to decide what it is. It may be a glow-in-the-dark dildo. It may not be. And then just to clarify what the day two event is, if I haven't clarified it, it's a no unique, no doubles event. So no unique upgrades or pilots and no more than any one of any generic upgrade or pilot. So essentially all generics become uniques and all upgrades become unique, barring the ones already unique, which you can't play. This is all explained on the Facebook page. Also, Wave 11 is legal as well as the contents of the C-Rock expansion. There was a few guys from Johannesburg that asked whether Wave 11 was legal. So I said, we were waiting for it. And once it arrived, I was like, yeah, sure, you can fucking do it. Please bring two copies of your list. If you don't, it's fine. We have list forms that you can fill in, squad forms you can fill in on the day. But I mean, save time, bring two copies of your list. I need one for the event to upload and one for your opponent that you will show them during the event. Now, there is another prize that was sponsored kindly by Solar Pop. That is for all participants, not I pay the entrance fee and I don't pitch up. Participants, meaning you're actually at the event, right? All participants will be entered into a draw for a... guess, guys, what is it? What is it? What could it be?
Following the suit of the previous one, I'd say a Raider.
No, we're not giving you a fucking Raider.
Another Xerox?
Wow, that's a good guess, but wrong.
I know. Like a starter box for Destiny.
That's like, what? No.
Did you even get starter boxes for Destiny?
Yes.
Yeah,
starter boxes. Okay. Okay, I don't
know. You need to play fucking Destiny.
Oh, I know. A copy of.
Don't say it. Don't
Guns
say
for Hire when it comes
out. Oh, okay.
No, Guns for Hire when it comes out.
No, but I can't give you that at Nationals. It's not here.
No, sure. But, like, you can still get a copy. Like, you know, like, you're going to get this copy when it arrives. Okay, I guess not. So, what is it?
So, it's a battle of Hoth playmat.
Ooh, that's nice.
That's for all participants. That is a random draw. Obviously, there are people excluded from the random draw. People who get quite a bit of swag, which is the top 8, as well as, I think, the wooden spoon winner will get quite a prize as well. So, you can't win. If you won the C-Rock in the draw, you can't obviously win that. But we'll go through those rules on the day. Because, I mean, just to make it fair for everyone who's participating in the event to give them a chance to win. Participation prize for Nationals is Alt Art Owl Runner. It is amazing to look at. It is.
Finally. Now when it's not like useful anymore.
Yeah. Top 16 is the acrylic target locks from the Millennium Falcon targeting computer, or it's from targeting computer, I think.
They look very nice, really. Like I think they're like going to be pretty sought after.
Yeah, I posted it in the group.
How many pairs do you get, by the way?
Three pairs.
Oh, okay. That's actually very nice.
So they all have the same artwork, but they have the, what is the language, Arabic symbols are different on each one, on each pair. So
Is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Oh man, so that's really cool.
Nice to look at. It's like bright red and bright blue, so you can't miss your fucking target locks, right? And then top 8 get the set of 5 spot gloss acrylic black squadron alt arts.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That
yet again, too late, but
it's never too late. Never too late. Anyway, so. That looks really fucking amazing. And then the trophy is a replica of the, I think, the original core set cover. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Don't the top 4 get something special too? Like templates or something?
It's like bright red templates. Like translucent bright red.
It's almost neon red.
Yeah, it's like that's really bright.
It's pretty cool.
I was looking at it today. I was just going through prizes and stuff. It's actually really, really bright. And then the guys who are not in the top 16, I may arrange something for you to get as well. And then, because I mean, it's about people having a good event. That's the most important part. Yep. Nationals. Oh, there's one more new thing. Yes. I'm just fine. Don't complain. I'm just looking for it. Shut up. Okay. So Kevin Peterson, shout out to him. Besides winning store champs, he's also posted the updated rankings after the BBT store champs. And
just a quick note for people that don't know what Niz is talking about.
So Kevin Peterson is also a member of the Cape Town X-Wing Club, and he is doing a rankings of everybody that plays in official or, well, actually any tournament in Cape Town. So this is effectively, you know, a list. You can go and actually look on the spreadsheet and everything, how he does it and so on. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So
I think we've got it on our page.
I'm ranked 13th. It's amazing. Shannon is 9th. Peter, you are 8th. And James is 2nd. Loser James.
And funnily enough, Kevin is 1st and he's making the sheet.
It's very convenient that the guy who's doing the stats is 1st. Anyway, so why I mentioned the stats page is because of the Get Wrecked challenge, which we started at Store Champs, which I think is a great idea to continue into Nationals, since we might have a larger group of players and the chance of getting wrecked are much higher. So, in honor of that, the top 4 people on this list will be put on the Get Wrecked list. It's a challenge. If anyone in the event at any point, in the event obviously, not in a casual game or any even the side event in the next day, only in the actual Nationals tournament, if you beat any of the top 4, which is Kevin Peterson, James Pelser, Daniel Watson, or Kevin O'Connell, 100-0, Quantum Gaming will give you a beer or a Coke. That what you have to do to claim that is you get the Get Wrecked sign from me, the judge, take a photo of your opponent with holding the sign, and send it to me. That photo will be used as event coverage, which will be amazing. Peter, you know how the sign works, right?
Yes. And fuck you.
That was not a good day for me.
Now you can get revenge. You're not on the list anymore.
You're not on the list. Yes. That's not bad. That's not bad. You just didn't.
No, I'm way too bad these days to be on like any list of anything that's good.
It's okay. One day you'll get back there.
You and I must just get good and win Nationals.
Good, just win Nationals, both of you at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna play fair ship rebels, man. Fuck that.
Yeah. One forward to victory, son.
Exactly.
So that's the Nationals. I think that's the only thing updated on the Nationals. Yeah. So I just want to thank the guys who pretty interested as well, and all the guys who are coming through. It's gonna be a fun day of X-Wing. I'm really excited actually to meet the guys from outside the city. I'm like really amped to meet them. Because, I mean, they seem very, very interested to be there.
Yeah.
I've had about 30 people mail me so far or send me messages on WhatsApp on the Stalk contact just to find out if they can come and spectate as well. Because they just interested in the game or in Star Wars in general. The 501 Legion will be there as well. They will also be, I'm still trying to arrange demo games of the other Star Wars systems. So if you're not playing X-Wing, there are other games to play, which will be, we'll try and get Armada up, Destiny, and Rebellion. Hopefully we'll have a copy of the expansion of Rebellion at that point. And then last thing is, there may be a X-Wing VR simulator at the event. I'm not sure yet. So as soon as that's confirmed, I'm going to tell you guys. Yeah, so it's a VR simulator. That's all I know about it. So don't ask me anymore because I don't fucking know. But that's...
Can I ask a few questions?
Yes.
So if you're a visitor that's not playing, do you need to pay entry fee?
No. So it's all free entry if you're a visitor. The only time you pay is...
Are you going to ask people to buy an expansion pack? Otherwise, they're not allowed to be there?
No, because that's a dick move. And
okay, no, I thought so.
That's how you grow a community. Yeah, if only I was an asshole and trying to rip off the community. So. Anyway, so I've also asked the WhatsApp group for shout-outs, and oh God, have they sent shout-outs. It's been amazing so far. Okay, so yeah, that's national. So guys, if you want to spectate, if you want to bring your friends to spectate and you're playing or you all just want to learn about the game, it's cool. We will have a demo table up for X-Wing as well. We will have someone demoing X-Wing just to teach you the game. You can just like socialize as well with the players, just chat to them if you're not playing X-Wing yet, as yet. Throughout the other games, there's not going to be many other board games except for things that are Star Wars orientated, because it's the Star Wars X-Wing Nationals. So we're not going to see anything like, we're not going to have any Catan there. Let's just like clarify that shit. Right? We may play Cash and Guns. So, because that's fun for the tiebreakers. And then, yeah. So that's Nationals. There's nothing else I need to add about Nationals. That's literally it. Then, is there anything else you guys want to say about Nationals? Is there anything from the club?
So there are going to be a few things that the club's going to do at Nationals. So this is not in conjunction with Quantum Gaming. However, we did ask permission.
Nothing, no, it's okay, carry on.
I'm just making sure everybody knows. I do not want to announce it right now because I'm not 100% sure about the details. They're going to be like club activities and things, you know, like things that you know, members can do. I believe there's going to be raffles and stuff for members, which will also be members only. And there will be...
That's not cool. How do I become a member, Peter?
You just, like, pay your membership fees and then, like, you're a member. And, there will also be a reduced membership fee for people that sign up at Nationals as well. And we're also going to announce a few things there, potentially. There's a whole bunch of people that we started to work with for community growth, who's, you know, now getting into gaming and stuff like that, which is really exciting. So they will also partner with us, just like the other people, like Quantum Game, for example, has partnered in the past. And
you guys kind of like just like annoyed me into helping you. I mean, and.
Pretty much.
Feel like I had a fucking choice, but okay. Yeah. Anyway.
We're going to stop asking.
I know, it's a big problem. I should change my number.
All our members are going to help out as much as we can and try and get as many people there. So for me, if you're in Cape Town or South Africa and you... do you have the time to come? Well, if you're from Europe and you want to come too, I mean, that would be awesome. But, you know, coming in 2 weeks is probably...
Yeah, well, if you're on vacation in Cape Town and you're listening to this, we'll just bring your X-Wing with and play.
Yeah, bring... Oh, like, it's actually... the thing is, we've got a very cool community and people will probably able to borrow stuff to you if you really want to play. Give us all a shout and so on. And you can actually find our Facebook page if you want to get in contact with us directly, which is just the CXC. Search CXC on Facebook and you'll get the page. And you can ask us. Otherwise, you can ask the here on our email or ask Niz. And we can sort you out.
Yeah, I'll send them to you. Don't worry. That's national. Shannon, do you want to add anything about Nationals besides being excited and the fact that you're going to win?
No, that's pretty much it.
Awesome. I'm really happy to hear that. Cool. I'm just going to go through any events that's happening now. So
you haven't gone through the shout-outs that the WhatsApp...
No. We're getting there. We'll need a whole fucking section for that shit. So events now. Shit. Is this Wednesday we're trying out a casual furball event. It's $5 entrance fee. And all you have to do is build a 30-point ship, including upgrades of fucking course. Right? You'll be max 6 people on a mat, on a playmat. And there's 6 obstacles. And the goal of the game is to have the most points at the end of an hour and 15 minutes. That's it. How do you get points? For each point of damage you do to another ship that doesn't destroy it, you get 1. However, if you kill a ship, you just get 2. Even if it goes from full to 0, you get 2 points. That's it, literally. And
that
you respawn,
very strategic.
You respawn within range 1 of the board edge, beyond range 3 of any other ship. So you respawn in the end phase, and then you start with your activation as normal. There is a timer on it. We played a trial game with 3 players. We had 9 obstacles. It was insanely fun. Yeah, so the guy won with a stupid Z95. There is a list of banned upgrades because they don't gel well with that type of format. It's totally casual, so you can join us. The first prize is only 1 prize, and it's the first prize of Alt-Art VI. And you'll just see that if there's anyone tied at the end of an hour and 15 minutes, all the tied players will play a game of double, or as now known as called spotted, to determine the winner.
Cool.
That's going to be, Shannon's going to win very easy. Cool. That is it, I think, from my side. I don't think there's anything else event-wise that's happening.
No, we're just starting the...
your league is starting up, eh?
Yes. Yeah, the CXC league again. So we branded it now under the club.
Are they just supposed to...
People should have already registered. If you're listening to this and you're not registered, then you should actually read messages and then reply to them and not come complain to me afterwards that you're too late or something.
Of course.
Yeah, people do that. Like, no, but you didn't say. And then it's, oh no, I put this on 4 different groups, 2 different pages, in 3 WhatsApp channels, and you still managed to miss it.
Yeah, but either that involves people reading.
Yeah, I know. That reading thing is difficult.
That's really difficult.
But yeah,
I've learned that if you read cards, they explain the cards.
Yeah, many times I do. but yeah, so we're gonna have a typical league, like one game a week, and then it will run for 4 or 5 weeks, and then we'll have a final because we have basically like 2 different groups playing because, you know, we don't, there's a whole bunch of people like spread all around the city and you can't get everybody to one place. So there's 2 different places and we're going to have a different venue, completely different venue to play the finals. And hopefully it'll be something quite new and exciting if everything works out.
Awesome.
And, I'm happy to And other than that, we are going to do a tournament relatively soon-ish after Nationals. It won't be like super soon. It will be like, you know, a few weeks. But yeah, and it will be like definitely a fun type event. Like more, you know, bring the kids and, you know, just some cool stuff. Not serious.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I mean... Yeah, I think once Nationals goes down, then once it's done, then we'll be able to sort everything out casual-wise and other events and things. I actually have a few events and we need to chat after the course because I have a few ideas as well just to help out with that. Use it, don't use it. It's up to you. We're going to end up the show with shout-outs from us, but I'm just going to read all... you guys want to add anything before I do the shit?
No, thanks.
No.
I'm good.
No, you're great. Cool. So I asked the WhatsApp group for shout outs because I see we're doing a podcast record. Can they just send shout outs? And Carl was first, and Carl said shout out to Niz. Oh, thanks, Carl. Jeez, he's such a nice guy. Then the next shout out is Arnie, who gave a shout out to the Punisher. May the legend live on. And then Dolph gave 2 shout outs. Shout out to Ribs. I assume he's talking about like the ones you buy and eat. And then shout out to Scrub Club, which is getting wrecked and loving it because aren't you part of Scrub Club, Peter?
Yes, I am.
There we go. And then Kevin Peterson gave out multiple shout outs. I'm just going to find all of them. So his shout outs are real simple. He gives a shout out to James for rolling really well when he went over his mines. He shout out to... John Mack for being the only person who attempted to castle against him and then still lose 100-0.
That's savage.
Shout out to Sean Shadowcaster who lost 6 health to 1 bomb. And shout out to Arnie for giving credibility to the organization of the event. Arnie's shout out was, yeah, the Punisher, as well as a shout out to Kevin Pedersen for winning and making me kill my own ships with bombs. And then Arnie gives the last shout out, which is shout out to everyone having fun playing X Wing. Peter, do you want to do a shout out to anyone as we close off?
No, not at the moment. After next time, I'm probably going to have a crap load of shout outs because there's a lot happening behind the scenes. But yeah, I do want to say there's been some heavy negativity from a very small minority in our community. I'm talking about the local community now. There's been a lot of like negative internationally as well. But I think a lot of people are getting over that stuff. And specifically talking about our community here, most of the community was basically just really cool and brushed the stuff off and said, you know, whatever. And if you guys hear some of the things that's happening now that will probably be public by nationals, you will just go like, whoa, this is awesome. And the community is even better than you thought. So there's a teaser for things to come.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That sounds very mysterious. Shannon, you want to give any shout out?
Not so much as a shout out, but I'd like to just call Kevin out there and them's fighting words, bro.
Wow. Okay, he's probably going to play triple K wings anyway. Anyway, besides the point, my shout out goes to Legend of the Five Rings, which is a fucking amazing game right now. I'm sorry. I'm so stuck in that hype. You have no idea how hyped I am. I made the big mistake
of reading the rules and
it
looks amazing.
Yes. Good. Legend of the Five Rings is pretty dope. Guys, go check it out. I'm going to say the things I say at the end of the podcast now. Thanks to you guys for coming through and recording with us. Fuck James for not being here. Thank you to Goblins from Mars for the music that we use for our podcast. Really awesome them to give it to us for free. You can check them out on SoundCloud or YouTube. And shout out to everyone who's trying to be positive in the X-Wing community and just doing their thing and being, you know, enjoying playing X-Wing. That's what we are. Plastic spaceships, guys. Plastic spaceships and pieces of cardboard. It's all about fun. Okay, so this is Niz. I'm serious. I'm going to see you guys at Nationals, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.